So I hope you got it, Mark, on the audio. I'll use your audio. How much are we into this thing? Maybe 10 minutes, 9:33, probably about 10 minutes into this thing. We're just talking about music. I'm just kind of rambling my thoughts here at first here. Not many people know enough about music to deal with it intelligently, and they don't know what the Bible says about it. It's a very, very powerful thing in our lives, and it's one of those things that if it's not the right kind of stuff, Paul says to avoid. I mean, how do you avoid it when it's everywhere you go? It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. Have no company. Well, at least you don't have to buy it. Oh, the bird? You want the bird? Okay, here's... different how things change when you get older. There you go. There's the birds this morning. Very, very few folks know the power behind the King James Bible when it comes to music. There's some marvelous examples in there. Moses is good. We can learn from Moses. We can learn from Amos. We can learn from Daniel. We can learn from David. We can learn from Paul. You know. What did they sing in the garden? They sang a hymn. So it's in there. It's in there without a shadow of a doubt. There's place. So people think, well, God doesn't care about music. He doesn't. There's a place in Amos chapter 5 where he says, I'm not going to hear the sound of thy viol. He quits listening. Back in the days when God was in the temple building, he wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't listen to their music. And the element of music that he wouldn't listen to, it was he wanted to have melody. So they were doing something to their music in those days that God wouldn't hear it. So why would that not be the case today? Well, God will hear it because all things are lawful. But if it's wrong, it's going to burn in the judgment seat. So, but here's the biggest thing that stirs me up a little bit here is I've heard it said so many times that trying to live Paul's life in this day and age is not even practical. And this is tough, music. If music is important to you, and you have made your call, and you have made your decision, and you don't want to have the bad stuff going on. And, you know, some of you younger folks haven't heard all the bad stuff, or else you've been able to forget about it because you haven't heard it for a while. And if you're playing an instrument like, you know, Patience there, you're playing your harp, and Adriana, you know, whatever you're ever going to do someday in your life or whatever, then what happens when you get older and you get confronted with it? Either in a marriage situation with the husband or the wife, or the kids. You've got kids now. I learned that husbands and wives can put up with all sorts of stuff in this world, but once you have a kid, it's just like you can almost protect them to the point where it's too much. How can we say that it's too much to protect our kids too much? Let's say we got 5,000 people out there with guns and they're shooting at us, and we want to protect ourselves from most of them. It may be 4,800. Well, that leaves 4,800. That leaves 200. I hate math. That leaves 200 that can still shoot and hurt you, kill you. So we protect. We don't want to overprotect them. Are you kidding? But then again, we can destroy them. Oh, it's a tough deal. And music is one of those. What do you play in your house? You've got 6 people in your house. You've got 2 people. You've got 3 people. Husband, wife, 2 kids. Somebody comes to visit. The whole spiel. And here's this music. These people don't bring their different Bible versions and flout the scriptures all day long. They don't, modesty is one issue you deal with within a home. Like our grandma down in, I think it's in Kentucky says, they come to my home, they cover up. But they don't come to my home. That's a tough grandma. And I imagine she probably controls the music, but she lives, you know, Kentucky. Music can get pretty radical down south. Everybody thinks God is the God of the South or whatever. So, what do we do with this music thing? And I know some of you have this coming up in your near future. You get the Bible thing taken care of. You can get all these things that you believe taken care of. But then comes this music thing. Ah, and who am I to talk? I'm teaching music in a public school. So far, I'm teaching the little kids. And I believe so far I've been able to teach them the right kind of music. I'm not able to teach them all this stuff about the music. But I'm still able to teach them that what it does for them can hurt them and blah, 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 blah. And so this is a challenging subject. So there's a 15-minute hors d'oeuvre of whining about music for you. Now, so let's look into this thing. Now, I've got a website that's got tons of music on there for those that don't understand it. Some of you know I do. I don't mean to talk like you don't know that stuff, but maybe some folks don't realize that. But we have a website, paulsonmusic.com, I think it is, and there's just a bunch of stuff on it, and just tons all over the place. I think I've corrected it somewhat for the Paul stuff, rewritten some things, but I'm going to go through that thing. I'm either going to eliminate it, or revamp it, or re-preach it, or something. And I feel like I've left it off to the side. And music is a huge thing. It's to praise God. I mean, that's a simple thing. And he's had his praises polluted. And which is understandable. The world's always wanted to do that. But one of my grumps about Facebook, Farcebook, is the fact that everybody is yakking about music. They're playing examples and videos of music that is just terrible. Not only from a musical standpoint, but even from a doctrinal standpoint. They just like it because it's about being loved, and they could care less what else they say. That kind of stuff is just amazing. Time out. Sorry. Allergy season. Whoops, that probably sounded pretty gross, that one. Sorry about that. I can take it out of the audios, but I can't take it out of videos. Unless I can get to Brother Bob this week. So here we go. What's our test today about anything we do? Because we have to remember that Paul says twice, all things are lawful. We realize in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, where it says, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law still exists to show people that they're a sinner. Galatians 3 tells us that. But once you trust that Christ is your Savior, you no longer have to follow the law. He's taking care of the law. It's not there for righteousness. Okay, so does that mean we can do anything and everything? Well, doctrinally, yes. From a Christian standpoint, no, of course not. What does Paul say? God forbid. In fact, that's the first question, chapter 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Or he says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Both of his answers are God forbid. But if you do, it's not imputed. But what's the purpose of a judgment seat? To take care of the stuff that we do that's wrong. It's that simple. Now, here's the test that we ask ourselves over anything we ought to be doing. Does it edify? Is it expedient? Does it cause someone else to stumble? Does it have a power over you? And we use it for an occasion and for the flesh. Those are the questions that we have to ask about this stuff. Okay, so what do you think? I mean, anything we do, anything we say, anything we wear, because we have all things are lawful. Well, music. How does it edify? Does it edify you as a talented musician? Does it glorify you? We like the old hymns. You know, the old hymns edify, teach, instruct us. I mean, there's something to be edified from those old hymns. The music doesn't bother us, but what about the fact that so many times we sing something in our church hymns that we don't even believe? And what are we using the old Christ? Are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the Christ that died for most of your sins, like the Mormons? Just, you know, that kind of stuff. So how does it edify? Is what you're listening to in your home, does it edify, and does it edify properly? And what about the music of whatever it is, the actual music itself? Forget the words, just the music. Can that music edify, or can it hurt? Can it harm? Is music neutral? No, music is not neutral. It either helps or it hurts. It's either right or it's wrong. We'll get into that, I suppose, in the next couple of weeks if anybody's still interested in this stuff. Here's another one. This part of our test, is it expedient? What do you mean expedient? Is it proper? Is it fit? Is it suitable for the purpose that you're... What's your purpose? Is your purpose to relax you? Is your purpose to feed your flesh? Is your purpose... Is there a spiritual benefit behind it? Is it expedient for that thing? If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, there's our call for music right there, as well as anything, where Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that would include music, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, and a good report. Can music fit that thing? Well, it can. But I'll tell you this, it really narrows it down. And to go back to our situation, what are you going to do when it's in your home? And the husband doesn't believe it, doesn't understand it, and you do. What are you going to do when the wife doesn't understand it and believe it and want to follow it, and you do as a husband? What about the kids that come bopping home with little boom boxes stuck on their shelves with on their shoulders with Velcro? What are you going to do when your kids are in school and they learn this music, this junk that goes on in the music classes in schools? What are you going to do when all your kids are learning in music classes Native American spiritual religious music? What do you think? The next one, can it cause you to stumble? Okay, let's suppose that you think that it's edifying. Let's suppose that you think that it's expedient, it's the right stuff to do. Can this music cause someone to stumble? Well, you know that the lost people out there, or the fake Christians who think they're Christians, but they're like kind of blah, 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 and they think that you playing something clean is going to cause them to stumble? Oh, come on. Why do you guys tolerate, why do you expect us to tolerate everything, and you can't even tolerate us? You know, that kind of stuff just bugs me. So we're not causing them to stumble. We may make them mad or whatever. And you've got to also remember that the stumbling issue in the Bible is about the brethren, the weak brethren, those that are weak in faith. That's what the stumbling thing is about. Now, you've got a brand new Christian, and here's my illustration, I guess. I can use my old illustrations because some of you know them. Many years ago, I was going to do a clue to the rock music, just a little segment of the rock music. And I was going to show some people that the beat that is in some of the popular music in its day was matching the beat of this record out of witchcraft. It had the jungle beat going on in there. It was the weirdest thing. I heard one day this witchcraft beat going on in this witchcraft performance, and I recognized that beat, and it turned out, as we finally figured out, it was identical rhythm that the Beach Boys were singing at the time. Well, anyway, we got into this thing, and this guy that was helping me, he started to get the shakes. And he says, I can't do this anymore. This is bringing back memories. So here I was going to do the right thing. I was going to teach something, you know, about music. And this guy couldn't hear the old stuff. So why do we have to show the old stuff to teach them at night? By the time they're in high school or adults, they have to have music to go to sleep at night. And by the time anybody's anywhere nowadays, some people cannot live without their music. They have got to have that thing in their ear, and they've got to have it. One of the things that irritates me out here is because we see tourists all over the place. We have tourists out here in the summer, like some people have mosquitoes. They're everywhere. And I see these moms and dads. In fact, if you've been reading Calvin lately, they go on this camping trip, and little Calvin, you know, just hates it kind of thing, and it's funny. But I see these people out here, these kids are right in the back of their cars, and they got their earpieces on, and they're just listening to junk, their heads are bopping, bouncing around, you know. What a form of rebellion. They can rebel against what their parents are doing because I'm going to go into a different world with this music. That kid is hooked on music. There may be a good reason for doing the earpiece thing. I'm not knocking that because, you know, I mean, whatever. But if you're hooked by it, you're going to cause somebody to stumble if they get hooked by it. I feel bad so many times because I've taught so many kids music, and now look what music has done to their lives on a performing basis. I guess I can't help it, but it still bothers me. Can we cause somebody to stumble with the wrong kind of music? You know, we can listen to the golden oldies. We can't. All things are lawful. It'll burn the judgment seat because it doesn't please God, but we can live with that, I guess, if people seem to. But you know what? If you get your grandkids or your kids combined to hear you doing that kind of stuff, and they like it, and your philosophy is, it's just the old stuff in the olden days, it's them to stumble. Or is this music going? If you're not going to cause somebody to stumble, is it going to have a growing effect? Is it going to edify? Is it going to strengthen? And then there's power over you stuff. Like I said, people can't just can't put down their music. So, what do we do with all that stuff? And then lastly, all this power over music. You know, music is very seducing. It's very hypnotic, and it's all done by repetition and different instruments and different flowing of melodies and the whole spiel. So, it's a very powerful thing. Sound okay out there? And then lastly here, we have, what if it's not to be used for an occasion for the flesh? Well, now there's a classic. Why do we listen to music? To please our flesh? To pump up our flesh? To excite our flesh? So those are the questions we ask about our music. Now, everybody's getting it. Skipping, huh? Should I just bag it and talk about it again tonight some more, or should we continue on here? We can just bag this thing. I'll tell you this, I really don't think, I know this sounds very piousy and all this kind of junk, religiousy and all that, but you know what, the devil does not want us to talk about music. He could care less about Bible versions because people don't care about that anymore. You can talk to somebody about the King James Bible, they just go, yeah, okay, oh-hum. But I'll tell you, music still stirs the mud. And I believe the music is the power that is dragging people into this modern church, and it's the power of this. It's the unholy spirit of the world that will sucker. So I guess that might have something to do with this, or it's just your natural junk of the electronic age. Because everything here seems to be all plugged in, right? I'm not moving, jumping around or anything. So those are that's the test. Ask yourself, the music you're listening to, does it edify? Now, I ask just a lost person, well, sure it does. It makes me feel good. Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Well, sure it is, you know. Does it cause anybody to stumble? Well, that's their problem. Has it got a power over you? Yeah, but who cares? I love it, you know. And occasion for the flesh? Well, of course it's an occasion for the flesh. I love my flesh. Yeah, but see, Christ has separated us from our flesh. He's made us, all things are new. Our old music needs to be passed away. We need to avoid the stuff that's going to fire up our flesh. We need to have no company with. We need to withdraw from. We need to take heed that we, you know, we're still going to make those choices or we follow the flesh. But music is the one that not only does it cause us to make those. See, I told you, this Paul stuff, it just isn't practical. It still isn't the right thing. And then you ask yourself, what do you have to sacrifice to stay to do right? To try to be that clean Christian? We don't have to do that because Paul says, you know, all things are lawful. But he also tells us how to please God. And if one of those ways, which it is through our music, then we're looking at how serious are you? And it's a tough question. Are we willing to just give up almost everything anymore so our music is still clean? Does that mean a husband? Paul says that if you can't have peace in the home, and he says if your husband doesn't want you to be the believer that you need to be in your day-to-day walk, then yes, you can leave. Yeah, am I trying to destroy families here with this stuff? Can you change your music within your home and not destroy your family? And our guidance by what we think based on circumstances. What does the Bible say about music? This is very simple. Like I said, in Amos chapter 5, there was a time God did not like the music from his people. He shut them down. I'm not going to hear that stuff. And Paul talks about of the three elements of music. We have rhythm, melody, and harmony. And God always talks about melody. And melody affects the spirit. It's a spiritual part of the elements. Harmony affects the brain. You've got to be trained to understand how to sing harmony. And if you know the chords and stuff, see, these chords can make you sad. They can make you happy. They can make you frustrated. The music constantly gives you a chord that doesn't sound right and is scientifically an incorrect chord, but it resolves it to the proper sound. That's manipulating us. So we have to look at the scriptures and say, listen, okay, so music is such a big power in this world. If 99% of this music is wrong and dangerous or stumbling or whatever, or it's going to cause trouble in your judgment seat, then stick with the 1%. And what if it's in your home? What if you're a kid and your parents want to play the junk? Do your best to avoid it. Don't get caught up into it. Don't laugh with it. Don't get excited with it. I mean, don't show them your support. It's just like TV. It's just like crummy, raunchy movies. With dirty jokes. If you don't laugh, you let them know that you didn't participate. But if you had to hear it because of the situation and you had to have it going on or whatever, then you don't, if you have to watch it, then you don't get into it. You don't enjoy it like they would. The immodesty thing, you fight that thing all the way through because that's not even, to me, I guess I shouldn't have even thought of that one. To me, that one's not even, people want to take down the wall. They stand like 2 inches from you and talk to you, or they get close to you physically, and they make some jokes that you laugh at, and it's not proper to even be there. It's not proper to behave that way. All sorts of stuff. Forget about that wall thing. Now, you know, there's in Galatians chapter 6, let's look at Galatians chapter 6 here. I hope this thing is still coming across. Galatians chapter 6, I'm not even getting it recorded right myself if it's going to be skipped. Mark, we probably won't even use it. Galatians chapter 6. You know, if all things are lawful, and we've got this edifying, expedient, stumble, power over you, occasion for the flesh thing, and God doesn't chastise you if you're doing something wrong, kind of a deal as the book. We ought to realize in Galatians chapter 6, for example, in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we know that. We're aware of this thing. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And we know about that. And we always want God's physical blessings. Okay? And we think that this music, if we do the right thing, we're going to receive physical blessings. Well, this whole thing about physical all the time, men, we're not men like we're supposed to be within our homes. We have the TVs on. We have the music going on. We go places we ought not. We go to restaurants that serve booze. We didn't used to do that. We go to stores that have rotten music. We didn't used to do that because we have to. I mean, the world is controlled. Sure it is. And that's why Christ made it such that we're just not accountable to that stuff. This is a shocker. Well, the judgment seat will take everything that we've done and put it to the test of the scriptures, Paul's scriptures. Okay? So, and I'll tell people, listen, God is not going to chastise you. God is not going to bless you either as the same thing. But you know where we get the blessings from? And that's because it also says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, it makes it look like you're going to get yourself saved because you're doing good things. No, it's not what he's talking about. And let us not be weary in well-doing. We can follow the scriptures and do some things right, and we can end up with a physical blessing. Is it a physical blessing because God gave a miracle? No. It's because we followed biblical principles and blah, blah, blah. But listening to good music actually has its benefits. So, yes, the Christian life will be affected by something doing right. We also got to remember that nowadays we're in such a wicked world that when we do something right, they don't like it. So if you're doing something that's getting the world to bless you and like it, I would venture to say you're probably doing the right thing. Doing the right thing about music won't get God to bless you, but there will be blessings from it. From doing the right thing, from a wisdom standpoint, we'll make some right decisions. The right kind of music will be good for your children. The right kind of music will not cause someone else to stumble. The right kind of music is edifying. The right kind of music will keep her from being hooked on music. The right kind of music and doing the right kind of music in the right kind of manner, not 24/7 kind of a stuff, it actually won't become a power in somebody else's life. It won't become an occasion for their flesh. And there's results of that kind of a lifestyle. So yeah, just because, so we know God isn't going to chastise us, we also know God isn't going to bless us, but if we do the wrong thing, we can reap the wrongness of it, and if we do the right thing, we can reap the rightness of it. And yes, it's coming from the Word of God. So it's still coming from God, but just in a different format than people are thinking about. They think that if they listen to the right kind of music, well, God will bless them. Just, you know, God will showers of blessings, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then when something goes wrong in their life, their music goes sour. No. That happens all the time. What's one of the easiest ways for our children to rebel? And that's to sneak in music. And listen, parents that are out there, don't think that your kids are going to just listen to the clean music all their life. It just isn't going to happen. You've got to watch their, and they probably will go sour with it because the music happens to be everywhere. Very fleshy, very worldly, junky music everywhere. Tough stuff these days. Well, show by example. Be able to explain to them. I teach in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about this voice. I think you kids ought to understand what music is. They ought to understand the language of music. Somebody needs to teach them music can do to teach a kid about music. But listen, don't be like some of those parents that expect you to have learn how to play piano, don't ever get them a piano. I guess here's so much of that stuff, it drives me nuts. And yeah, also check your piano teacher. They're probably going to be teaching a bunch of junk. Don't go to some local music shop. They've got a bunch of rock and roll idiots down there teaching music and all that stuff. It's tough. This is a tough subject. So we talked about the all things are lawful, but take the test. Does your music edify? Is it expedient? Does it cause someone else to stumble? The weak and the faith ones, the weak ones, not the strong ones. The strong ones, if they're into this stuff, then you avoid them. People think that Paul is so unpractical and so different. No, you just either you can adjust and not judge them because they're weak in the faith, or you judge them in the situation and you get away from them. We don't have to hang around this stuff. Still, we don't have to hang around this stuff. If they ever ask me to do the high school music program, for example, I'm going to have to say, listen, A, I'm too old, so they're not going to ask me. But if I was younger, I'd have to say, no, I can't do high school band anymore. That's what these kids want to hear. So we have to be able to say to somebody, I'm not going to listen to this. And if you're in a situation where you have to, you're an adult, you can deal with it. But if your kids are there, get those kids out of there. Well, Paulson, we can't go to McDonald's or anything like that. Okay, fine. Just realize that the more your kids hear this stuff, the more they're going to become immune to it. Just the way it is. I live in a generation, believe it or not, for you young people, that we didn't have the offbeat emphasis like we have in rock music. We didn't have it. When Elvis and these guys came along, it started to show up. And it was a big thing to talk about the anapestic beat and the offbeat. how it goes against the heartbeat and it goes against your physical body and it causes your body to change and be affected by it. I remember reading a long time ago studies where they said, listen, we played rock music and classical music and da-da-da-da, and the plants either died or grew depending upon the music they played. It's been proven, so whatever. I remember all this talk about the upbeat stuff. And now I've recognized on the... Now I recognize on the internet you can find articles that rebuke that stuff. Reprove it. Well, we got people that don't think George Washington was our first president either. They're changing history. They're changing this stuff. And the young people are buying into it. So, when I hear the upbeat, the offbeat music playing in our hymns, I can just tell. It's just a wrong thing. It's gonna affect their flesh. And the young people go, what are you talking about? Because, see, this is all they've ever heard. They're immune to it. So these old people come along and say, well, we don't listen to that kind of stuff because it's not good for you. They just laugh. It's just it's tough stuff. You spend a lot of time playing some, like patience with your harp. You're still there? Yeah, your harp. And there's a lot of people who are bored to death with a harp. But the older people like it. Because the older people know there's no upbeat in there. I make a big fuss. She knows this. I used to make a big fuss about scooping notes. The Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, boo-boo-boo-boo stuff. Everybody, all the pop music had to scoop the music. Well, now people can't sing without scooping. Why not? Because they can't sing. Anybody can find a note on a scoop. They can, like a siren, they can find that note. Everybody scoops. Well, was it a big deal? God? Well, yeah, it takes away from the purity of the music. But it's tough, isn't it? Patients will be the first to realize it's tough. And Grandma, you sing to not scoop. You're not a scooper because you're old enough to be back in the pre-scoop era. But my point is kids are immune to this stuff because they hear it all the time. And these people that say, well, the kids need to hear it because they're going to live in it, you don't need to hurry up and get them into this stuff. Yeah, they're going to get into some of the other stuff in life, too. But you don't need to do it when they're kindergarten, first, second, third grade, da-da-da-da. I'll tell you, what our kindergartners and first, second, third graders know today is mind-boggling when it comes to filth and dirtiness. Even the proper stuff, they can't deal with that stuff. Their little brains can hardly deal with sitting still on the gym floor. We're watching it being destroyed. For example, here's one for you. Look at Proverbs 30. Let's go to Proverbs chapter, I think it's 29. Then I'll be done. I'm just kind of talking. We'll get into some of the details tonight. Psalm is kind of frustrating, though. That's how the devil works with this stuff. Look at Proverbs 29 here. When we're talking about this music thing, you've got children out there, or some of you are going to have children someday, and we know that we're very close to the tribulation. We have to be close to it. Not that it's going to come tomorrow. There's a lot of things that still have to take place. But boy, I'll tell you, it proves the fact that it's coming. Well, here's what we know is coming in the young people. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. I'm going to turn that around, too, by the way. There are parents that will curse their children and do not bless their children. I mean, they're the sorriest parents I've ever seen. And I've got a list. I've got a list of parents that are just abusing their children spiritually, mentally, physically. And I just want those people to be careful that they don't feel guilty for not... it says... that curseth their father, that doth not bless their mother. You got to remember that being obedient to do the wrong thing is not what God would have you to be, especially when you're not a child anymore, age-wise. So don't take some of these scriptures and suddenly apply the guilt onto you because it isn't supposed to be there. But there is a generation, and it sure sounds familiar, doesn't it? Curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Here's a mom and dad trying to do the right thing, which is rare, but they're trying to do the right thing, and the kids blow it off, and they're just not interested. They're not interested. They rebel against it. And, you know, I'll say this. This is hard for me, but Paul says, if it gets to that point, you avoid. You withdraw. Have no company with it. If they're going to flaunt against Paul's teachings, then that's the way it's got to be. There is a generation that appear in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And we know that that really sounds like a teenager, no matter what generation they lived in, doesn't it? They hate their parents. They think they got it all together. And they roll their eyes when you say something to them that makes them mad. You know, the eyelids are lifted up. Anytime a kid rolls their eyes, I want to just smack them one. You know, I had a girl stick her tongue at me one time in high school. I just punched her right in the mouth. That was a long time ago, by the way. So you don't stick your tongue out at me, ma'am. And I got called into the office for that one. But then the principal called in the parents and raked him over the coals for the kid being that kind of a kid. And they told me that if you're going to hit a kid, you can't hit him above the neck. That's what I was told. I was in Las Vegas. But now you can't even say boo to him anymore. So yeah, that looks like a teenage thing. But when you look at it, this is what's going on today more. And then look at verse 14. There's a generation whose teeth are swords. I mean, their mouth is going to hurt. They're going to tear you up. And their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. A lot of these young people today, I'm telling you, they're starting to show that they're starting to remind us. And their music is horrible. It's a big deal. Christian men, Christian kids, Christian teenagers. The music is terrible. The music is creating something. It isn't a result of, it's creating something. It's the power that music has. Well, I guess for the next couple of sermons, my statement is going to be, should we even be concerned about music? Is it something to be concerned about? And what can we do about it? It's a tough one. It's a big key. It's a big one. We'll talk about more of that stuff tonight. And glad to have the sound fixed, whatever that was. We'll find out, I guess. But hope this thing is still salvageable. Because I hate doing sermons in a row. Unless I have to do it in the afternoon or something. I can do that maybe, Mark, if this isn't good enough. So, you know what? Even my video froze up. You know, this is just like one of those mornings. It is. My video froze up. It's not even working. If it is, I froze up. Maybe I'm not moving. Maybe I died. I'm just laying here thinking I'm talking to people. Oh, whatever. So y'all have a good morning, afternoon, and I'll talk to you tonight. For those that are there, good to see you. Bye.